around this time last summer, when lockdown was on, I was as free as a bird. Believe it or not, maybe some of you can't picture what that was like, being able to walk around a shop in whatever direction you wanted without even a face mask on. And really the only thing I queued for last year was a McDonald's drive-thru, believe it or not. I suppose last year holidays were a bit easier to go on, weren't they? And maybe a wee bit safer to go on as well. And so myself and Rachel, we found ourselves on a trip around a wee place called Croatia. So lovely place, I would recommend it. But my wife is she's good at many things, but one thing is not looking after things. And so I said on this trip, I'll be the one looking after or spend the money, all the money we have brought with us. And so not long after being in charge of all our money, Jamie finds himself in a bit of a predicament. Maybe you're thinking, what happened? You could say I misplaced, I lost a good chunk of our money. And so both myself and Rachel, we search our car, our pockets, every document we had with us. We even looked in every nook and cranny around our apartment. But did this chunk of money show up? No, unfortunately not. Not one single penny of it. And this was not a very joyful nor successful search. And really with that story in mind, we are landed well at a story with a much more joyful ending, a much greater searching out and a much greater finding of what was lost. And so Jesus tells a parable about a lost coin. So if you have a Bible, please follow with me. It's Luke chapter 15, and it's verses 8 through to 10. So this is a parable Jesus tells called the lost coin. Luke 15 verses 8 to 10. Please follow along with me. This is God's word. It says this. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. And just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Let us just pause and bow our hearts as we come to pray. Father God, we thank you that your word is living and active, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. So Father, cause me to be the best signpost I can to you. Cause your word to come alive to us today. And cause it not to go in one ear and out the other. Cause it to penetrate the very depth of our sinful hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we seen the shepherd finds the lost sheep. In the first part of these threefold parables, you could say they're word pictures in Luke 15. And next week we will see the third part of a father who runs to embrace a long lost son. But right in the middle of this sandwich, we see a woman searching for her lost coin until she finds it. And in these parables, we see Jesus, he does not tell them or share them for your enjoyment or to make you feel good or better about yourself. But he shares them because he has a great concern for sinners' souls who are lost and in need of God's great call and searching out of this great salvation he offers and his welcoming and embracing son, Jesus Christ. But before we go any further, let's just pause and see who Jesus is talking to. You see, after Jesus finished telling the parable about the lost sheep to the ears and to the hearts of the Pharisees, of the scribes, of the tax collectors and sinners, who thought this guy Jesus shouldn't be receiving and eating with sinners. They thought this is a no-go area for Jesus, that they thought they, you could say, were above Jesus in many ways. See, Jesus here in this parable, he is still speaking to them in his mercy and grace. As a friend of sinners, to liars, to cheats, to thieves, to the self-righteous lawbreakers and awe-breakers. And really what Jesus is showing these religious leaders and sinners is this, in this parable. God's joy in finding what was lost. And notice how Jesus in the parable begins talking about a woman. You see, this woman in the parable represents, you could say, the character of God. That God loves to pursue us the way the woman pursues this lost coin. And firstly, what we can learn from this parable is how precious we are to God. And when we look back at the lost sheep parable, we see one out of 100 went missing. And the same is so here, just in a smaller number. There is one precious coin out of 10 that has disappeared. You see, this coin was so precious to this woman. Commentators say this coin was equivalent to a full day's wages, or possibly a chunk of life savings back in the day. And of course, it's going to be very precious to this woman. Try maybe even putting yourself in her shoes. A whole day's work under the belt, possibly even a chunk of your life savings has gone missing. Nothing to show for it. Ask yourself, what would you do? What would your reaction be? Maybe you'd just go, ah, that's spur change, means nothing to me. I'll not worry about it. I've got money to burn. But I don't think that would be the case. I know for myself it wouldn't be. And for this woman, it was not the case either. She knows that her one coin is too precious to lose. She knows that she is willing to search everywhere and in anything to find her lost coin. Why? Because it simply had to be found. And firstly, it shows she lights a lamp and sweeps the house and seeks diligently until she finds it. You see, the value this woman has placed on her coin shows the great love and the value that God has placed for lost sinners. That we are precious to Him. That God is the God who takes, you could say, ownership of His children who are lost in sin. You see, the Bible shows that this is who our God is. That even when this coin was lost, it still belonged to her. It never stopped belonging to her, no matter what crack, corner, nook or crevice it was lost in. It still had belonging. And in the same way, each of us sitting tuned in this morning belongs to God. Even if we have fallen away, even if we have never even acknowledged Him, even if we place worthless on our foreheads day in, day out, we still have belonging to Him by the virtue of the fact that He has made us in His image, hasn't He? He has crafted us and formed our inward parts. He has even knitted us together in our mother's wombs. You see, we are valuable to God, even if we place no value in ourselves. And that's the good news of the Bible. That our value to God is so, so great that Jesus became like us, a sheep silent before his shears. Or you could say a lamb that was led to the slaughter in order to find and restore us to God. Isn't that good news? You see, God is the God who makes a way for his own to be found. God is getting his own back through Jesus Christ, who is our living hope. So be encouraged by this morning. See, not only does this story teach us that we are valuable to God, but secondly, it shows that we are maybe still lost as lost can be. We were once, you could say, spiritually dead. You see, the parable also teaches that until God finds us through Jesus, we are helplessly lost. You see, this woman's coin in the parable, it represents people like you and me this morning. And if you have any bit of a sense, or if you have any understanding of how a coin works, you're going to come to the conclusion pretty quickly that a coin is not going to find itself. The coin is going to stay lost, isn't it? And spiritually speaking, we are in the same predicament. We cannot find ourselves. We cannot rescue ourselves. And that's what Jesus is teaching those listening, these religious leaders and sinners in this parable. You see, what happened to this coin is what's happened to all of us. The Bible teaches us that ever since Adam's first sin, we were born not perfect, not found by God, but born in sin, separated from God, alienated. We were rebels to our Creator. We were as lost can be, not seeking after God. Isaiah 53 shows that we were like sheep gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We are lost in lovelessness to God. Our wiring has tuned us to have firstly, no desire to praise Him, no desire to love Him, and no desire to serve Him, and no desire to even find Him. This is what it means to be lost. Like that lost coin, we are at the bottom of the darkest and deepest, most dirty of spots, covered in muck, dirt, dust, grime, and you could say sinful ways. You name it. We are unable to mend ourselves, unable to fix our circumstances, unable to, you could say, shine ourselves up, nor roll out of our dirty, spiritually dead, lifeless state to be found. We are hopeless and helpless, and many of us don't even realize the predicament we are in. Until thirdly, the lost coin is searched out by God Himself. You see, this is our hope. Not that we are at work, but that God is at work. When God searches us out and shines the light of the gospel of Jesus on us and says, "Here, you over there, you belong to me." And then He pulls us from our lifeless and dirty, helpless spot, chucks us upon the beauty and majesty of Christ, and breathes life into us through His Spirit. And as we see all this unfold, all we can say is, "Look what the Lord has done. I believe." That's many of our stories. Because this is who our God is. He's seeking us out through His Son. And what He seeks, when you hear this, He finds. God, in His mercy, offers hope to the worst of sinners. No one is too far gone for God. You see, God will never have an unsuccessful search, no matter how great your sin. You see, the gospel is hope for all. What a comfort that is. There go I, but for the grace of God. I know myself a good bit, but I'm pretty sure God knows me a lot better. I'm quite certain that if God had not chosen me, I would have not chosen Him. That's what Spurgeon says. And we can praise Him for that this morning. You see, the Bible teaches us, after all, doesn't it, that Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. That's the good news of the gospel. That Jesus does not leave us lost, but He is looking to find us. Just like we see this woman in the parable mirroring to us. This gives us great hope, doesn't it? That those who are lost never slip Jesus' mind. Just like the woman, she didn't forget about her lost coin. She was determined to get it back among the other nine. But notice how carefully and thoroughly she searches. She lights a lamp, sweeps the floor, and seeks diligently to find this coin. You see, no furniture is left unturned. No crack where her lamp has not shone. No dirt or dust left to hide that coin, but all is swept away. So I wonder, can you picture this scene yet? Can you picture Jesus searching for you? I wonder, have you grasped that Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost? One commentator says that this is the way Jesus looks for lost sinners. This is why He became a God-man, why He performed miracles, why He preached the kingdom of God, and why He died and rose again. Jesus was looking to find. That's good news, isn't it? And you see, back in those days of Jesus, coins had an imprint of Caesar, of Rome on one side of them. Just like you look at a coin today, you'll see the queen's face or head and shoulders on one side. And you see, each of one of us, you see, we're made in God's image. And Jesus is looking to find what is made in His image. People like you and me. And if you know what it means to belong to Jesus, then you have been stamped and imprinted not just with His image, but with His blood also. You see, the Christian is stamped and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that good news that we picture? That even when we were in our lost condition, we were still valuable enough to God for Him to search us out and call us His prized possession. So I wonder, have you been stamped this morning in the royal stamp of Christ's entry code to heaven? Think about that. Ask your heart of hearts that. You see, the gospel shows that Jesus is still searching sinners like you and me today. He's searching to find the lost coin and stamp his saving blood on it. That's good news. We can praise him for us. You see, the gospel calls and convicts us to see and trust in that old rugged cross where Jesus defeated the sting and the power of death once and for all by rising again from the grave 3 days later. You see, the gospel calls us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The gospel calls us, so to speak, to bow our hearts in repentance. Maybe you're thinking, but what was there in me? Stick your name in there. What was there in me to attract the very heart of God to do something like this? Think about that. And really, you come up with the answer is nothing. There was nothing in us that God should have sought. But this is who God is. And I once read about a man called Francis Thompson. And he described how he had been found and saved from being a guilty sinner to a blood-stamped and blood-bought son of the King of Kings. And he described it like this in the Hound of Heaven. He says this: I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches and the years. I fled him down the twisted ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him. And under running laughter, up visited hope's realm, adown titanic glooms of chasm fear. From those strong feet that followed after, ah, fondest, blindest, weakest, I am he whom thou seekest. You see, in many different ways, this is every man and woman's experience who has come to know Jesus Christ. Every sinner has been found, has a different story to tell. Because Jesus finds us in all our different and most helpless ways. He knows where we are. He knows his coin by name. He has engraved us and he calls us his own precious coin this morning. See, Jesus' love, it's an active love. It's a working love. He left glory with the Father. He humbled himself and made himself in this likeness of man. Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. Just like the woman who spared no pain to find her lost coin, Jesus done the same. He spared no pain either. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He laid down his life for his friends. I don't know about you, but I can't think of any greater love than this. Greater love than this cannot be shown. So ask yourself, are you seeking him? Then he is seeking you. This is the miracle of salvation, that what's impossible with man is possible with God. And finally, what we can learn from this parable is, fourthly, the eternal joy of being found. You could say the happiest day in heaven. You see, this is a joy that will stand the test of time. It's a joy that will last forever. This salvation, it's no mirage, it's no fake news, it's no false rescue. The Bible says that when the woman found the lost coin, verse 9, she calls together her friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. You see, this woman knows her search has brought great reward. It's brought great joy, not just to herself, but others also, and especially this lost sinner. Why? Because we are important to Jesus. We are not sought out by duty, but pure delight. This is you can say there's no one too wicked. There's no one too far gone to be found. And so Jesus closes this parable on the note to religious leaders and the sinners and sayings, verse 10, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And I love those words, so I do. And in our failing and weak minds, we understand these words so, so little of the perfect joy of heaven over someone like you and me. There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And isn't that a note for the Christian to learn from today? You see, we can take great joy also when we see those who are lost coming and being found by Jesus, and then taking their seat among the believers in our church. See, Jesus is showing these religious leaders today that heaven rejoices over that one lost coin, over that one sinner being found, that there is eternal joy. He's showing that it's always a joy when something lost is found. Try to imagine your favorite band walking on stage, or your favorite football team lifting a trophy. The crowd is usually roaring with joy, going wild, can't really believe what's happened. Now picture how much greater the joy of heaven is when one lost sinner is found. Can you picture that? It's going to be indescribable, the joy of heaven. This is the joy here. This is the joy when the sinner says, "I'm sorry for my sin," and then turns from his sin by showing his or her life has changed to reflect, display, and tell of what Jesus has done. You can imagine if Jesus was standing in Green Island Baptist today saying, you know your man over there, the guy who looks like he's been dragged through a bush backwards, well, he's the one I found. He's the guy that was lost in sin, but I've searched him out and I have found him. And would you hear this? He's not the only one. Take a look at your girl leading the church in worship. I'll not tell you where I found her, but I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad she's mine. I'm so glad she's a child of God. Have a look at your old man on the door. Never mind those ones serving in the mango. I don't even want to get started in those Sunday club ones. I have found and I have kept them all. This is my church. My friends, this is who Jesus is. This is what he is in the business of doing. He takes great delight in searching for people like us. Maybe you're saying, "Jamie, hold on a second. Do you think these angels are wee? They're clapping a wee bit prematurely, a bit early? Is this not a bit over the top? It's too early to be celebrating the salvation parade, is it not? I thought you could maybe be saved one day and lost the next." I've heard people say once saved and always saved. Maybe that's popping through your head. Let me encourage you that this is not the case, nor has it ever been the case. This is not heaven's clap of joy one day and silence and despair the next. That's not what's happening. See, once God calls and seeks out the Christian to himself, they are kept by him for time and eternity. The Bible teaches us that when God begins a work, he completes it. When God starts something, he has no intention of not finishing it. God is not like us. Praise him, he is the faithful one. He never turns from his promises. The Bible also teaches us that not one can be plucked from his hand, no matter how far they wander. You see, if you're truly of God, you will come back. They will be found, just like the parable of the lost sheep and the lost son. Listen to the words of Romans 8:30. It says this: "And those who he, God, predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." That's good news this morning, isn't it? That those he saves are his delight. And in this delight, Christ will hold me fast. Why? Because we are precious in his holy sight. He will hold me fast. And he will not let our soul be lost. And wait till you hear this. His promises shall last. Because people like you and me, we are bought by such a cost. He will hold me fast. So have assurance of your Christian rescue. have joy in your keeping and rest in God's sustaining hand. And as I close, another hymn writer, he knows this parable well. And he says this, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see." Praise him. So I wonder, as I finish off here, do you know the reality of these words yet? I wonder, have you responded to the invitation of the gospel? For it has called me, and I pray it calls you to repent and look past the devil's lies, because they only lead to death and hell. I pray that you would no longer step away, but step back and receive the eternal life that Jesus offers. Don't trust in anything you see inside of yourself, because it will let you down. But see your all in all in Jesus alone. Consider who you are and who Jesus is today. Consider that if you confess your sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what the Bible teaches us. Let me encourage you, Christian, also see the God of the Bible with his Son Jesus and their deep, never-ending interest in sinners, who has his dwelling place among the angels of heaven, seeking sinners and rejoicing over them. Don't be like these religious leaders listening to Jesus. Don't be, you could say, religious nutcases. But be concerned and rejoice with joy over those who have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Have joy flowing from your heart to your lips. And I pray that you would also be deeply concerned for those who have not yet found and need the joy of salvation's clap in Jesus Christ. Don't stick your noses up at them. Be like those angels in heaven who celebrate with great joy for the grace and mercy of God for one lost sinner. What joy there will be in heaven over one sinner who repents. Remember how valuable a soul is to Jesus. So go welcome, go tell, and show other people the love of God in Jesus Christ. For God has so loved the world that he has given his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's John 3:16 and 17. That's what the promise of the Bible says. So friends, remember, Jesus came to receive sinners, to pardon and to sanctify. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus is the joyful seeker. He is the friend of sinners, and he's seeking without complaint. Be encouraged by the fact that Jesus is far more willing to save sinners than sinners are to be saved. I wonder, has he found you yet? I wonder, do you know this great and pursuing love? For there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Amen. Let us pray together. I sought the Lord, and afterwards I knew he moved my soul to seek him. Seeking me, I was not that I had found, O Savior true. No, I was found of thee. Father, we thank you that you have made a way for us to know you, that you have found us and sought us out in our helpless and hopeless state. We thank you for the blood that makes the foulest clean. So help us not, Father, be among the Pharisees of this parable, but put our hearts in tune with the joy and the love of Jesus for sinners who are found, and for the sinner who has not yet been found. We thank you that we are your work,
Work in our hearts today, Father. Cause us to know you and love you more and tell of you more. We thank you for this great seeking and finding, that you have found what was lost and stamped us with your blood and called us your own precious coin this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.